been looking for several months at this idea that we were made for more. We're made for more than sometimes what appears. And I'd like to continue in that vein. And before I do that, one thing slated for this week is an event that the local churches get together for at the Kiwanis Park, and it's called Stations of the Cross, and that's on Friday afternoon at 5 o'clock. Stations of the Cross will take you basically in a walk around Kiwanis Park, and we'll stop at different places and read the story leading up to the crucifixion of Jesus. This is a very meaningful way of remembering what Christ has done for us. So 5 o'clock on Friday at Kiwanis Park. Wanted to mention that. The subject matter that I was interested in exploring with you today is a subject that I see so lived out in you. In fact, I could not speak on this subject because you do it so well. But like Peter, who said, I just want you to remember this, I'm going to do it. I'm going to have us take a look at this subject. It is the subject of generosity. There are many, many ways in which you as a group of people are generous. And I think probably one of the things, the reason why it's important to say something is because sometimes we need reminders. For whatever turns and twists happen in our lives, sometimes we can become more insular, we can wall off, we can become less generous. So it's a good thing to remember. So we're going to take a look at this idea that we're made for more, that God has made us his people to bless others in need. And in particular, let's read a proverb together. It's Proverbs 11, chapter 25 through 26. This version is found in the Message Bible. Let's read together. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. Oh, just for fun, how is the first part of this verse true? The world of the generous gets larger and larger. I like that pay it forward idea. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. How could that be true? It's the dynamic at work there. So when we're stingy, we are self-focused, and the interactions and contacts with those around you become smaller and smaller. Okay? The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. In having something to offer somebody else, you end up being blessed yourself. Your very being opens up. Yes? And? Could you all hear that? Okay. Very helpful. Yes. Feeding our own soul. Yeah. That's so true. It's almost like taking a big breath inside, isn't it? When you do something helpful to another person. Yes. What gets in the way of living generously? If this is true, what are some things that get in the way of us living generously? Let's list a few things. Selfishness. Okay. Selfishness. Fear of what? Fear of not having enough. Okay? Indebtedness. If someone helps you, you, or how does that work? Oh. Okay. So I don't have resources, and that's just going to make it worse to respond to that. Yeah. Fear of your help being rejected. That's a real one. Yes, it is. I'd like to, yes? That's very real. It is. The sense of obligation. Sometimes we aren't generous, or we fear generosity because we could end up owing somebody something. I do it myself. I'd rather do it myself. I think Janet found one day that she was unable to do anything but spread cheer when she was in the hospital, and hope, cheer and hope. She would ready herself for her visitors, and that's all she could contribute, is just hope. This thing about owing people, and not wanting to owe someone, I've been kind of puzzling over this thought this week, that receiving somebody else's generosity may actually be a gift of generosity back. You could turn it around, and that it's actually a gift to receive it. If you just can't do that, it kind of robs them of their gift, you know, if you can't accept or receive it. So we really need that balance in that. If we can just get past the initial thing of being helped, to realize that it is in fact a generous gift that you can give back. A couple of things that I came up with along this line were kind of fun. There's this idea that one of the things that may get in the way is that God helps those who help themselves. Remember this famous quote? God helps those who help themselves. Do you know where that's from? Ben Franklin. Really? There we go. This was one thing I found. It said, God helps those who help themselves is from the Bible. This is Einstein. Do you even Google? I mean, like, if you Google it, you can find out that Ben Franklin was the one attributed. That's not in the Bible. It came from Benjamin Franklin. God helps those who help themselves. And I think it was in Poor Richard's Almanac around 1761, somewhere in there. So it's not even there. What's the truth to that? God works through people. There is a part that you have to do. So that's the truth to it. What's the untruth to that? Yes, we are not autonomous. There will probably be a time where every one of us will need help. Yes. And my, oh my, how pride comes crashing down, makes us go to our knees, you know, in those times. But it's important to realize this, that each of us will need help sometime, and that God's help especially is important. We sang a lot of songs that talked about grace this morning, didn't we? And understanding grace is that we are in need of God at every moment. There's not a time when we are not in need of God. And if we can live that way and live graciously toward others, we'll do much better. So God helps those who help themselves. Another one is this idea. This is Cookie Monster. Uh-oh, if I give cookie away, some of my cookie, if I give it away, there will be less cookie for Cookie Monster. And that's the idea that I'll have less if I give more, right? I'll have less if I give more. Okay, and then a third one. If these are two dogs underwater going after a little tennis ball. You can see them just going after it. And I chose this one to illustrate the idea that there are limited resources out there for which we have to compete to have it for ourselves. So this is that selfishness that I think you alluded to as well. And so there's scarcity. There's the idea addressed here that it's mine. It's mine. It's mine to choose what I want to do with it, and not anyone else's. It's mine to be used for my own pleasure. But these ideas have some things wrong with it. Let's see, a fourth thing that I saw was this. It's kind of a convoluted process, but you'll get there. Yes, my demands require your generosity, but generosity is a great quality, and you want to be great, don't you? The idea, I think, behind that is that it's this person that we're afraid we're going to be taken advantage of. That somebody really is out there that kind of believes that, that believes that everybody else is kind of an adjunct to their life and will constantly make contributions toward that. And we don't want to be taken advantage of by that. So these are some reasons why things that affect our generosity. And if left unchecked, could actually stop or staunch generosity. So God helps those that help themselves. There is some wisdom to that, but we know there are qualifications. If I give it away, I will have less. Scarcity. What I have is mine to use for my own wishes. I don't want someone else to take advantage of me. And these are all things that get in the way. And so, which of these ideas do you think prevent generosity that you find yourself falling captive to? I don't think I wrote that sentence right. Which of these ideas that prevent generosity do you find yourself falling captive to? Just a moment to pause and think, to reflect. These could be some areas that maybe the Lord wants to work on in our lives. Valid concern. Yeah. We have to be careful. Valid concern. Okay. This, taken in concert with some of the others, could produce a life that becomes less and less generous. But valid concern on this last idea. Well, let's challenge some of these blocks to generosity. God helps those who help themselves. I know I heard one already. You have to do your part. Jamie had one, I think. God help. We all need God's help. We need God's help. If I give it away, I will have less. Yes? although there is a balance. Yes. Let's see, scarcity. There may be enough. There may be enough. What I have is mine to use for my own wishes. What we have.
Everything we have has been given to us by God.
And we are stewards of that. We are stewards of that. Careful stewards. And that highlights what you were saying. Yes. Very good. Great qualification about generosity. What supports growth and generosity? Realizing God helps those who are helpless, and we can too. We can follow that pattern. If we share, we will often have enough, and we'll talk about how that's true. What I have is God's to use for God's glory, and then developing a theology of enough. Theology of enough. When is it enough? When is it enough? That's our problem, I think. Will it ever be enough? Part of stewarding, I think, is developing a sense of that. When what I see, if you just live for what I want, it's your wants can be absolutely huge. If you think about what do I need, really, what do I need? There's often a difference between what I need and what I potentially could have, what I need and what I have, right? There's margin in here someplace between what I need and what I could have. And for us, developing a theology of enough is trying to figure out what is it? What is it? Before God, as a steward, what is enough? Then there may be some time for other things, or there may be resources for other things. Okay, recognizing and imitating the generosity of God is another thing that breathes life into this whole idea. Our reasons for generosity, so we've talked about the soul. The soul is made up of several parts. It includes our intellect, our spirit, our emotions, our ability to think, to plan, everything that makes me me. So we have, as a resource in our generosity, our person. That includes the next idea, body. There are times when being physically present or helpful with your body is a resource in generosity. Our talents, things that we come naturally to us or things that we develop, our gifts. We've had this as another important emphasis in our church life together. These are resources where our generosity can be expressed. Our gifts, our time is one. Our financial and material resources is another. These are all resources for generosity. And very often we just think in terms of financial and material resources, but there are all of these here. Some most important. Debbie, being there at a critical time in the lives of these young women. Being there. Listening. I imagine you do a lot of listening, is so important. Presence is important. Financial and material resources. I saw a picture this week that I thought just was so fun, and it just breathes generosity. It's this one, an elderly lady offering some apples. Now, apples. That's a very small, simple thing, isn't it? This doesn't have to be huge and complex. This doesn't have to sink the ship financially, but it breathes generosity here. If you could see a little closer, those apples have, they're not the greatest, they're not Washington perfect apples. But look how she gives them. Look at that smile on her face. Is that why she's smiling? Oh, that's wonderful. Wonderful. So we have all these resources for generosity. Another one I might add is participating in a generous community. This has been true of Cherry Grove as well. Whenever there's been a need, I've often seen you just swarm to the need. And that's so cool. It's interesting how when there's a need announced, that you pick up different aspects of that need based on, you know, kind of your how God made you and your gifts as well. That each of you respond to different aspects of that need. Another example of your generosity, just in this last week, there's a pastor's fund that you have set up that's at my discretion for being able to help people. And there was a young 21-year-old homeless woman who came up to the door and hungry, and she... Well, because of that resource, I was able to help her out with some food. So thank you. See, again, your generosity as a group makes a difference. Many, many ways. These are all our resources for helping. Now, here's a couple of things I'd like to do just quickly. I want to close here in just a moment, but I'd like to encourage you to experiment with the joy of giving. Look for opportunities to do that. And because, again, the benefits far outweigh that. There are times when I've gone someplace, called as a pastor, tired, and just washed out. One such visitation was to a young lady named Jessica that I mentioned a few months ago. It was a tragic story. This is real life. She'd been shot by her boyfriend. She was her brain was swelling because the shot had entered her head cavity, and she was barely surviving in the fight for her life, unconscious. And when I went there and shared with her parents, who were worried sick over her, I came back refreshed. There are times that I wonder, who is this generosity for? If it's for that other person or it's for me. I came back refreshed. I mean, concerned and prayerful, but refreshed that God was able to use me. Incidentally, I should give you more of the story. Called recently, and she is now awake and recovering and able to communicate. I actually talked to her on the phone, and at the time, we weren't sure she was going to survive. So, good story. But again, realize that sometimes experimenting with this, you may be the person who need it most. As opposed to the other. The second thing here are developing margin in your resources. What's the difference between frugal and generous? Or is there, how's it coded for you? Frugal. Yes? Yes. The generous will be blessed. Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Well, the idea of frugal is not stingy. Frugal is where you take your resources and you're careful about them. Right? If you're frugal, you may have enough to be generous. Right? There are a lot of people who are that just exactly that way. In fact, it does no good to the poor, it does little good to the poor to be poor, to have nothing to give, in a sense. You see what I mean? And poor and wealth is all relative. It's a funny thing. So being frugal in each of these areas that we just looked at could give you some margin so that you could be generous in an area. And this is what I'd like you to challenge you to think of: how does being frugal in one of these areas, if I'm frugal for a while, what would that look like? And then what would it look like being generous in that area? If I were frugal with my soul, I might, as Jesus did, go off, be apart for a while, take in, spend time with my Heavenly Father, develop depth, and have something to offer to somebody else, that I could be generous with that. These are ways that we can, I think, begin to live out those things. Being frugal means you are careful about the resources you've been given so that you might eventually have some margin from which to give. I'd like to ask our worship team if they would come forward now. And would you join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. The wisdom in your Proverbs is so true. And I thank you for the way that you've worked in this body's hearts to create a generous spirit among them. Help us as we walk with you to see those opportunities around us. Help us also to deal with those things that stop the flow of your generosity being expressed through us. Help us also to see what you've placed in our hands that's available to those in need. Amen.